Did you know that most employers offer disability insurance plans, but most employees don't sign up for them? Hi, I'm Rob West. It's difficult to know the reason for that statistical oddity. Maybe it's the it won't happen to me syndrome, or thinking that Social Security will fill in the income gap if someone is disabled. We'll get into all of that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, so the good news is that nearly 80% of employers offer short-term disability benefits, and about 65% even offer long-term benefits for disabled workers. The bad news is that only about 35% of workers take advantage of either form of disability coverage. Well, that's a recipe for financial disaster, because the Social Security Administration says 25% of working adults will experience at least a temporary disabling ailment before retirement. And the National Institutes of Health says that more than 20 million workers report a work disability each year. The main physical causes are back and neck problems, while depression and anxiety top the list of mental ailments. Many uninsured workers may not realize the financial impact that a disability may cause. About half of them need a full 2 years to recover financially from those lost paychecks, according to a study by the national insurance carrier Cigna. Now, I mentioned that one reason workers may not sign up for employer disability plans is that they think they don't need it, because anyone who pays FICA taxes into the Social Security system is automatically covered for disability. And yes, that's true, but the basic coverage provided by the Social Security Disability Insurance Program is just that, basic. The average monthly SSDI benefit is only $1,200. These days, that may not even cover the rent or mortgage payment, let alone put food on the table for a family temporarily without income if the breadwinner can't work. And despite what many might think, it's not that easy to qualify for SSDI. A disability must put the worker out of commission for at least a year. Plus, it can take several months to get through the bureaucratic red tape at the Social Security Administration. So, if your employer offers disability insurance, you should take advantage of it. If your employer doesn't offer a disability plan, you can get an individual policy from most insurance providers. But what exactly are you buying? Well, disability insurance comes in two basic forms, short-term and long-term. Short-term plans will cover up to 70% of your salary. Long-term plans will cover up to about 60%. So even the best disability policies won't cover all of your lost income if you suffer a disabling ailment. And that's why we always urge you to have 3 to 6 months living expenses in your emergency fund. Otherwise, a disability will mean going into debt to meet your monthly obligations. As you shop around for disability insurance, you'll quickly find that some plans are more expensive than others. Several factors can affect the level of premiums you'll have to pay. These include not only the amount of benefits the plan would pay, but also something called the elimination period. That's the length of time between when you sign up for a policy and when the coverage begins. This, of course, is to prevent an uninsured person from experiencing a disability and then applying for insurance. Unlike health care, disability insurance does not cover pre-existing conditions. Then there's also the benefit period, and as the name suggests, it's the length of time that the policy will provide benefits for your disability. Finally, exactly which conditions constitute a disability under the plan will affect the price as well. Something else you should know about employer and individual disability insurance: the conditions that would qualify you for benefits under those plans are far less stringent than for Social Security disability. Instead of having to demonstrate that you're completely disabled, you may only have to show that you can't do the same type of work that you're doing, and the qualifying length of your disability will likely be less than the 12 months required for SSDI. Having adequate disability insurance is a must if your family depends on your income. 1 Timothy 5:8 reads, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." All right, we hope this clears up any misunderstanding you may have about disability insurance. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. You gotta love what one teenager said to his buddy. "I need to tell you about Jesus. When do you want to do that?" He wasn't about to wait for any time to pass before he shared with his friend what he knew about Jesus. Don't waste opportunities for a bold witness because you're so eager to be accepted by others. In the 40 years I've been sharing my faith every day, I've never offended anyone. Being bold doesn't have to equate to being rude or offensive, but it does have to do with loving your neighbor enough to speak up. You have what those who are lost are searching for, and how will they know if you don't tell them? And I need to tell you, God promises that if you acknowledge Him before others, He will acknowledge you before God. If you need help sharing your faith, go to igniteamerica.com.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit moneywise.org/connect. That's moneywise.org/connect.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000. With lines open, we have 800-525-7000 is the number to call. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom and truth to your financial decisions and choices. What's on your mind today as you think about being found faithful as a steward of God's resources? Well, we'd love to help you unpack that and think about how you can move forward with confidence. Let me remind you, today is the last day to take advantage of our special offer to get the 3-book young reader series called The Secret Slide Money Club from our friend Art Rayner. It's a fun read for ages 8 to 12, using humor and adventure to teach children the foundational principles of financial health. Give, save, and live. So simply click on the link at the top of the page at moneywise.org to request your copy or copies of this 3-book series with your gift of $25 or more. Sending this resource to you is just one of the ways we can say thank you for your generous support. And as a reminder, MoneyWise Media is entirely listener-supported. We rely on your support to bring you this broadcast every day, along with our MoneyWise coaches, our MoneyWise app, and all of the resources we have to encourage you and support you in your journey to be found faithful in managing God's resources. Also coming up on the broadcast today, speaking of kids, I'll speak to some must-have skills for young adults. What are those skills we need to have as we prepare future adults to leave our home? There's the financial literacy side. There's also the understanding of God's heart and perspective related to managing money. Well, I'll weigh in on a few of those must-have skills as we think about being intentional to prepare our children to launch and really use this area of their life in a way that honors the Lord and allows them to experience His best. You know, if there's something that's going to compete with God for lordship in our lives, my experience is it's most often going to be money and the things that money can buy. It's one of those things that tends to crowd out lordship in our life. You know, we see that clearly in the scriptures. I would just go to the, well, any number of places, but the parable of the sower comes to mind. You know, there was the seed that fell on the soil and it was choked out by the weeds. The disciples asked Jesus later in that passage, what was it that choked out the word from bearing the 30, 60, 100-fold return? And he said it was the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things. You know, we see that money and the things that money can buy can really choke out God's word from bearing fruit in our lives. Well, we certainly don't want that. We want to see money in its proper context, and that is as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. If we view it that way, recognizing our role as steward and God as owner, well, it changes everything. It changes every spending decision. It changes our goal-setting process, that which we're striving for in the future, because now we're aligning our priorities with God's heart and our values and convictions, really starting in a posture of prayer and saying, God, what would you have me to do with what you've entrusted to me? It's a great opportunity and a privilege we have to be managers of God's resources. So let's try to do that well, and let's do that with a biblical worldview. Also today, we'll take a few of the emails we've received recently, one in particular on the best way to save for your child's college education. That and your calls today with lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. All right, let's head to the phones today. We're going to begin in Oklahoma. Vaughn, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes. I want to know what you know about December the 13th, about the digital dollars. They also call it Biden bucks.
Yeah. Well, you know, the government is studying digital currency right now. And so they're looking at it. Obviously, they're interested in the digital dollars because they're seeing what's happening with the cryptocurrencies. And so there was an executive order signed earlier this year to assess the risk and benefits of a the central bank creating a digital dollar, as well as other cryptocurrency issues. The bipartisan group of lawmakers that's pushing the Federal Reserve to move swiftly on this, you know, is real, but I think it's going to take some time. The thinking behind it is that this will combat steps China and others are taking that could one day threaten the U.S. status as the global reserve currency. But the Federal Reserve has been pretty clear in indicating that it's in no rush to do this. It's very complex, and they're not going to move anywhere quickly. Right now, it's just kind of in a study or a research phase. So there's nothing really, Vaughn, on the horizon here. I think the technology, the blockchain technology behind the cryptos is not going anywhere. It's here to stay, and it's got far-reaching implications well beyond even just just the financial exchange through the Bitcoin and other platforms. So that's not going anywhere. I wouldn't look at it as an investment, but in terms of how it will be adopted and when by central banks around the world, including here in the U.S., there's still a lot to be looked at on that. And it's something we do need to watch very closely so we understand where it's all headed, but it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Well, what would you suggest to do with your money in the banks to keep it safe?
Yeah, I still think that's the very best place for it, Vaughn, from my perspective. You know, putting it under the mattress, you know, I don't think is a, other than maybe 2 weeks worth of expenses, you know, stored securely at your home, I still think the very best place for your money, based on everything we know today, is in an FDIC-insured bank account backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. I also still think that the very best place for you to grow your wealth and offset the you know, effects of inflation, which are very real more now than ever, is in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio, in a brokerage firm invested in high-quality, properly diversified investments with a long-time horizon. You know, we do have some real headwinds ahead of us here in this country. We've got, you know, we've got to show up and vote because policy matters, and we've got to keep a watchful eye on where this country's headed. Is a debt crisis, you know, in the realm of possibility, you know, down the road? Absolutely. I mean, we've allowed that to get way out of control, and so we need to watch all of that, but I don't think anything like that is imminent. And I think, you know, given the fact that we're losing purchasing power, if we keep, you know, our money out of the ability to earn interest or to have it grow by investing in solid companies, you know, I think that's a mistake. Now, I think being part of being properly diversified is looking at various asset classes. So although I think for most folks, a core stock and bond portfolio, you know, is the starting place, when we have the ability to move beyond that, I'd be looking at adding an allocation to the precious metals. I'd be looking at tangible assets like real estate. You know, I think, you know, as we have the ability to diversify across asset classes and not just in sectors of the stock market, you know, that obviously further diversifies and lowers our risk. But based on everything I can see today, Vaughn, I wouldn't advocate for pulling out of the banks. I wouldn't advocate for pulling out of the stock market. I would say we need to trust the Lord, manage what He's given to us wisely, because ultimately what we can control is only what passes through our hands. And at the same time, we need to keep a watchful eye on everything that's happening around us. So I hope that's helpful to you today. We appreciate your call. God bless you. And we'll be right back on MoneyWise after this break. Stay with us.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at MoneyWise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at MoneyWise.org.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministries' purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We've got two lines open, 800-525-7000. I'd love to hear from you today with whatever is on your mind, financially speaking. All right, back to the phones we go to Oklahoma. Carol, thanks for your call. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. My mother passed away a couple of years ago and left me $40,000. And I didn't know what to do with it. I just stuck it in a federal credit union and in a savings account. And I was just wondering, my husband and I are in our mid-70s. I just recently quit my job. We both farm part-time. We've been doing that for years. We're also we have guardianship of two grandsons. I just want to know if there's anything better I could do with that money.
Yeah, what is your long-term plan with that money, Carol? I mean, would you consider this your emergency reserve? Is it money that you'd want to put to work and be willing to take a little bit of risk to try to grow it? Give me a sense of how this fits into your overall financial picture.
Well, I don't know exactly. We have probably just 10 or 11,000, you know, stuck back for emergencies and like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We don't have a funeral plan. I told my husband that's something we need. We're in our mid-70s. We need to take care of that so our kids don't have to worry about it. I just don't want to waste any of it. So I'm just trying to figure out, you know, is it even the best place to have it in a savings account? I didn't know.
Sure. And what about retirement, Carol? And I will weigh in specifically on the best place for this, but just curious, would you eventually sell the farm? Do you have retirement assets?
No, we're leaving the farm to our kids, and we're, we own our house. Actually, that's already signed over to our children.
Okay.
So actually, we don't have assets except our farm equipment and our cars and pickups, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And so you'll just farm as long as you can. If for some reason you couldn't, you will live off of Social Security. Is that your plan?
Yes, we're both on Social Security. My husband does have a small federal retirement.
Okay.
Pretty small, but you know, it does have a retirement. So
very good. Okay. Yeah. So I think last question: what would you say are roughly your total monthly expenses?
Oh, with these grandsons, it's really grown exponentially. They're probably $2,700, $2,800, maybe something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's call it $3,000. I'd love for you to have 6 months' expenses in emergency reserve. So that would be, you said you have 10 or 11,000. I'd try to get that up to 18, and perhaps you pull from some of that $40,000 to do that. That I would absolutely keep in a savings account that's FDIC insured. If you're comfortable using an online savings account, which they're just as safe as one that would come from a brick and mortar bank, you can get today 1.7%, and that number will continue to grow. That's completely liquid. backed by the U.S. government, and that'll probably be approaching 2% a year here soon. Now, that's not a whole lot, but it's something. And, you know, I'd look at Marcus.com or Ally Bank or Capital 1360, one of these online banks that doesn't have a brick-and-mortar operation and can pass that along in the form of no fees and a very compelling, you know, rate of return or a yield on those savings accounts. And I'd probably target 18 to 20,000 for that. Beyond that, I think it sounds like the only other main, you know, need that you've identified, other than you all needing some sort of in-home care or long-term care, which obviously could get, you know, pretty costly, is, you know, making sure you have the assets that are there for, you know, funeral expenses, whether that's pre-planning where you've actually made the decisions, but you haven't actually, you know, prepaid it. But it's taken the burden off of your family because the decisions have been made. And then there's funds available in a liquid savings account for that purpose. That would be one option. The other is actually prepaying for it where it's all been paid for. You know, the risks there are just that you need to make sure you don't change your mind about where you want to be buried. You need to make sure that, I mean, in some cases, these companies can go out of business. And, you know, there's just a number of issues to think through if you actually, you know, prepay it. But in terms of where to put that money, you know, depending on the time horizon, if this is money that you want to try to grow and you're willing to take some risk, you could take, let's say, 30 of that 40,000 and put it to work. You could do a properly, you know, diversified stock and bond portfolio with that amount of money. I'd use indexes, which are very low cost, where you'd probably gap, you know, capture the broad moves of the stock and bond market with a primary allocation of bonds just to keep it more conservative. But if you didn't want to do that, another option we've been talking about lately is what are called I bonds that stand for inflation bonds. They're issued by the U.S. government. Right now they're paying 9.6%, and there's almost zero risk because they're fully backed by the government. And you have to hold them for at least a year. You can only put in $10,000 per year per person. So you could take 20 of that 40,000 between you and your husband and put it into these electronic I bonds. And again, right now it's earning nearly 10%. Now, that rate will adjust every 6 months based on the consumer price index. So I expect that it will come down slightly in November when it adjusts again, but it'll still be a very attractive rate with almost zero risk. And as long as you're willing to leave it in for at least 12 months, you know, you can get a phenomenal rate of return. How does that sound to you?
Oh, that sounds phenomenal. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Yeah, that's what I want to do is just make the most of that, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
Whatever we can do in the, you know, however much time we have.
Yes. Very good. Well, to learn more about that, there's only one place you can buy them. You have got to do it electronically. You can't buy the paper bonds anymore unless you do that through a tax refund. So you'd go to the government's website, the treasurydirect.gov. treasurydirect.gov. You'll click on the Series I bonds and you'll basically open an account, one for you, one for your husband. You can, you know, make each other the beneficiary on those. And then you'll actually transfer the funds in electronically to buy the electronic bonds. And again, you can put in up to 10,000 each and you'll get a great rate of return. TreasuryDirect.gov. Carol, great to talk to you today. Thank you for checking in with us. We'll be right back on MoneyWise, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
God has set his heart on the person that is listening to us right now, who is at the very bottom, and they've lost a job, a child has died, and they don't feel like life is worth living. God has set his heart on you. Even when we're not worthy, we are worth something to God.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for tuning in to MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We're so glad to have you along with us today. Let's head right back to the phones. By the way, we've got a couple of lines open. Our team is standing by. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. To Texas we go. Bill, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure to visit with you. I have a question pertaining to the disability insurance and Social Security disability.
Okay.
My wife worked for the public school system, and she became physically disabled. Of course, she lost her job due to that, and they forced her to start early retirement. She also was able to draw the disability for an extended amount of time there. Of course, they deducted everything that came to her from that, so you know, she was just limited to, like, I think it was $800 a month. But at the time also she applied for Social Security disability. She had been denied three times, and then finally they came back and said that they was considered disabled, but since she worked for Texas public school system, she was not entitled to any monetary benefits.
Yeah,
the only thing she was able to get was basic Medicare.
Yes.
The big question I have is, she worked for the school system for like 15 years, but she had worked for 25 years prior to that paying Social Security. So why is she not entitled to draw disability?
Yeah. Well, you have to... have worked in a job covered by Social Security, and it's going to come down to, as you said, the amount of time that she was, because, you know, given that she's in the teacher's retirement system, you know, that obviously qualified for a pension, which reduces your benefits. And depending on how long she paid Social Security taxes versus the time she didn't, you know, that will determine her eligibility. And then based on that, you know, whether or not she's eligible given her work record, then she's got to have a medical condition that meets the Social Security's strict definition of a disability. You know, your condition must really significantly limit your ability to do basic work-related activities for at least 12 months, and that's how SSDI really differs from private disability insurance. And then there's the earning limitations as well. You can't earn more than $1,350 a month, because that means you wouldn't be considered to have a qualifying disability. But, you know, it really is going to come down to, in terms of the initial eligibility, whether or not, you know, she was covered by Social Security based on how much she paid in and for what period of time.
Oh, okay. All right. So working and paying for 25 years and then working for the school system. Now, I understood that there was a something to do that I think they have protested or whatever, but they weren't informed that they weren't able to be eligible for these benefits when they went to work for them.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Most people were not aware that they weren't eligible. And I heard that there was some conflict over that, but we've never been, you know, heard anything of it. And, yes. And as far as disabled, I mean, she's permanently restricted to a wheelchair.
Yes.
And she can't drive or anything of that nature. So,
yes.
And a cancer survivor as well. So, I mean, there's no question that she's permanently disabled.
Yeah.
Totally depends on someone else for help.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's really confusing for a lot of folks, because often they're surprised. The Social Security statement that you receive over the years doesn't reflect the reduction in benefits due to your teacher's pension. They actually wait until you file to tell you what the reduction is if you qualify for both a teacher's retirement and Social Security benefits. So, you know, understanding if a reduction in benefits will apply to you and how much will that be, you know, is something you have to seek out. So it's a good idea to, you know, understand these two terms called the windfall elimination provision and then the government pension offset. Basically, the windfall elimination is a recalculation of your Social Security benefit if you have a pension from non-covered work where no Social Security taxes were paid. And so that normal formula is substituted with a new calculation that results in a lower benefit. And that also applies to disability as well. So it does tend to get somewhat complicated, and you do have to engage them, you know, to find out exactly, you know, what's available. And obviously that's the process you've been working through. In terms of the minimum number of years, she would need to have worked 10 years paying FICA taxes to qualify for SSDI. So if she has, then, you know, that would be confusing to me as to why they're not saying she's at least entitled to some benefits.
Yeah, that has been our main question, because she did work and paid Social Security for 25 years prior to this job.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it was a question to us, is why, even though, you know, she's paid in, why is she not entitled to draw anything?
Yeah. Have you scheduled a meeting with the Social Security Administration to go down there or meet virtually to talk through all of this?
Our administration will not meet with you in person. They absolutely refuse that, and they're just not easy to work with at all. Most of the time, they won't even return your calls.
Yeah. Well, I would stay on that, because, you know, just keep working until you get somebody who either will meet with you virtually if they won't meet in person. But, you know, being able to have somebody who can look at her record and give you some specific answers as to eligibility and coverage options, I think is pretty important. I'm sorry this has been a runaround. I know they've been understaffed due to COVID and trying to staff back up, and so it has been challenging. But I would just stay on that, Bill, because it sounds like she does have the number of work years needed to be able to qualify, and based on what you're describing as her disability, it seems like that shouldn't be an issue either. So I would hope that there would be something there for her, and I would just stay on that. So I appreciate your call today. Let us know how that turns out, and we appreciate you weighing in on the program. Let's head to Virginia. Cheryl, you're next on the program. Go right ahead.
Hi. I'm just curious. I've got a 403B retirement, and I'm 72, and I'm supposed to take out a minimum amount this year. And I was just curious. It's like there's three accounts in this 403. So do I need to take some money out of each one, or can I take, you know, just out of one lump sum out of one?
Yeah. So you have multiple 403B accounts, or you have just one 403B with different investment options selected?
Yes, that's it right there.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So given that you just have one 403B, you know, you would just pull what's called the required minimum distribution from that account. So once you reach age 72, you do have a required minimum that has to be taken out based on the government's schedule. That's a function of the balance of the account and your life expectancy based on the table that they have. And so you would take that withdrawal from the account. They would, you'd pull it from any one of those three that you have. You just have to make sure you have enough in the cash account to be able to fund that required minimum. And then that would satisfy that for the year. And then you'd want to have your CPA report that appropriately. Stay on the line. Let's make sure I have your questions answered. We'll be right back.
Airing the Addisons.
Sherry B. and J. Mac are on tap to help us navigate the show. Will the Great, where do we go next?
All right, let's go to Brad in Arkansas. Hi, Brad.
Good afternoon. I enjoy your show, as always.
Applying scripture to life.
You can talk about anything that we have discussed this week, or maybe something that you want to bring to our attention. If we don't know about it, we're just going to tell you we don't know about it. You know, and then you'll just have to, you know, judge me. I'm sorry.
Airing the Addisons. Weekdays at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
One of the hardest roles in America is being a single parent. A recent study found that 78% of the current prison population was raised by single moms. Sadly, America has the world's highest rate of children living in a single parent home. Perhaps we need an about face in parenting. Our culture should adopt biblical values and discourage sex before marriage and promote lifelong happy marriages. Until then, let's do all we can to help the children and parents in single parent homes. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Welcome back to MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions here in our final segment today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Florida. Donna, thank you for calling. I understand you have a comment on our opening topic today on disability insurance, huh?
Yes, I do. I am a victim of a stroke, and as you stated, the best thing I ever could have done was get the long-term and the short-term disability. Mm. In October of this year, it'll be 10 years that I've been on that disability, and it really makes a difference.
Wow.
I was blessed when a stroke is a terrible thing, I was blessed because my Social Security went through no time, 1 month.
Yes.
1 month later, I had Social Security, and I had my short-term kick in at the same time. And then I had my long term to kick in, and it's still in. And it'll be in until I come of retirement age. I'll be 62 this year. I'm not sure if they're going to stop me at 62 or 65, but it has definitely made a difference. I am a municipal worker, so I do get my disability retirement and I get my Social Security. So it makes a big difference. And I stress to anybody listening, please, please get it. You better be the best investment you're ever making yourself. You know, and yes. I'm a low paying worker. I'm a mother of four. I raised four children on my own, low money. But I made it my business to keep the insurance. I don't know why. I just made it my business and I suggested. And luckily, I've been able to save. It's crazy since I've been disabled. And I want to put the savings in a higher savings account because 1.5 and isn't any money for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't use it. I save at least one check a month.
Yes. Well, what a testimony, Donna. I'll tell you, you're really reinforcing this idea that we started with today, and that is that so many people have the ability to access a disability, long-term and short-term policy from their employer, and they just pass on it. And given that how hard it is to qualify for SSDI versus a private disability insurance policy, not to mention the fact that often these are very inexpensive and the limitations on the amount of benefits, the average monthly benefit for SSDI being $1,200. In these days, that may not even cover a rent or a mortgage payment, let alone put food on the table. So having one of these policies is really critical and really can cover on a short-term basis up to 70% of your salary, long-term 60%. You know, that is just obviously a real game changer if you're in a situation like you found yourself. So, yeah, I appreciate you your testimony about the importance of having these kinds of policies, because if you find yourself in a situation like you have, being able to maintain your living expenses and lifestyle through a policy like this is absolutely critical. Donna, how are you doing today medically?
Not good. But I'm improving. The trying to treat me for the stroke, they messed up everything else. So, but I'm still in a good place, and I'm still gonna keep going forward. You know, trying to stay as positive as I can, because that makes a difference, and a lot of people don't understand that.
Yes.
They messed up some other parts of my. They messed up my kidney and different things, but you know. I just thank God that I'm still here, and I'm going to keep trying. Until they put dirt on my face, I'm going to keep trying.
Well, I appreciate that testimony and the positive attitude that you have, the trust that you have, and the joy in the Lord is evident. Let me pray for you as we let you go. Father, thank you for this chance to speak with Donna today. Lord, we just ask that you would intervene. Thank you for your provision in her life that she clearly is testifying to today. We just ask, as the great physician, you'd bring healing to her body, if that be your will, Lord. But most importantly, thank you for your son, Jesus. I pray that you'd surround her with people that can be an encouragement to her and lift her up, Lord, in all the great things that she's doing. We love you and we trust you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Donna, thank you for calling today. God bless you. And check back with us anytime. 800-525-7000. As I mentioned, folks, I want to share some thoughts about young adults. You know, as we think about handling God's money wisely, it really is essential that we, for the blessing of the children that God has entrusted to us, that we're being thoughtful about how we prepare them to be future adults, especially in this area of money management, both the literacy side and understanding God's heart and God's perspective of handling money. According to TIAA Institute for Personal Finance, they have an index. And it says that U.S. Young adults are lacking in basic money management skills. Most 18 to 25-year-olds in the survey conducted by TIAA failed to show a working familiarity with financial concepts like budgeting, saving, insurance, and investing. And think about what this means. You know, thousands of young adults are going off to college or joining the workforce today without knowing how to manage their money or how to avoid overspending or even how to build a solid financial future for themselves. When I was a kid, learning to balance a checkbook and pay bills on time were part of financial training for teenagers. I still remember my dad giving me the checkbook and letting me balance it when I was just a young guy, and I had so much fun doing that. I didn't realize that that he was trying to teach me something. I just thought it was fun. But today things look a lot different. Now we have online banking and instant digital transactions, and it's so easy to use credit and transfer money that many young people just live day to day without a plan until they need a bailout from mom or dad. Well, the fact that this generation rarely handles cash also means they no longer have a physical connection to their money. When you don't actually see your money coming and going, you might not realize when it's gone. Well, this disconnect can lead to unintentional overspending and a lifetime of debt, not to mention a lack of motivation to save for the future. So if you're a Gen Zer and just starting out, let me just share a few in our final moments here today, a few must-have financial skills. The first skill is what I'll call an attitude. Knowing that God is the owner of everything and that you're a manager of his resources, well, it changes your perspective on money and material things. We need to begin by implanting that idea and understanding in our young children, and beginning to reinforce that all the way through prior to them leaving the house. I mean, it's really the foundational idea that everything is built on, and that is that God owns it all, I'm his money manager, and money is a tool to accomplish his purposes. They have to understand that. Beyond the attitude, though, the second financial skill they need is planning. You need, as a young adult, to learn how to make and follow a spending plan. And by the way, our MoneyWise app can help with that. You can download it in your app store. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. The great part about that is it uses the tried and true digital envelope system that the late Larry Burkett always talked about that is very effective, but it's in a modern, beautiful smartphone app approach that's simple and easy to use. And you'll find it again in the MoneyWise app. Just download it in your app store today. Now, thirdly, dreams are good, but a dream without a plan is just a wish. So the next skill is employment. Start at the bottom if you have to. Work hard. Develop your resume. Earning can really build your financial confidence. So we need the right attitude. We need to start with a plan, and that's a spending plan. And then we need to learn the skill of employment and earning. The next skill is to open and manage a bank account. We need to get in there and understand how that works and begin the process of learning how to handle a bank account early. Then you need to make sure you have the habits of giving and saving from every paycheck. That just needs to be automatic and hardwired. And if you start that habit early, well, that'll continue throughout the rest of your life. And if you can give and save first out of every dollar you receive, well, that's going to set you up for real success throughout the rest of your life. Next, you need to learn about credit and how to build good credit while avoiding debt. MoneyWise.org, by the way, has some great articles on these and other subjects, so I'd check that out. But that's really important, especially if you're going to land on a college campus and be offered your first credit card. You need to understand the danger of debt and how to use it wisely. Next, learn about investing, including the types of investments, risk, and return, what the power of compounding looks like, what it means to be properly diversified, not highly concentrated, trying to pick winners and losers and having all of your eggs in one basket, but really understanding a sound investment strategy. And a great resource for that to learn more and read all kinds of articles is soundmindinvesting.org. And then finally, admit you don't know it all. And this can be challenging, especially as a young adult, where we have a tendency to think we know everything, right? But you need to learn where to go for solid financial advice. As it says in Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. You know, folks, now more than ever, young adults need financial skills to succeed in the real world. And my challenge to our bright and hopeful Gen Z generation is to pursue a firm faith and financial literacy. And if you're a parent or grandparent, I hope you'll make it a priority to encourage your young adults in their biblical financial journey. We want them ready to enter the world, to honor the Lord, and as my friend Ron Blue says, to live or die, give or go, to be able to follow the leading of the Lord in whatever he's called them to without debt or encumbrances holding them back, but ready to pursue God, and where money is actually a tool to fuel that, not something that gets in the way. Well, in order to do that, we got to get out of the comparison trap. We've got to monitor our greed and our envy, and we've got to pursue God with our whole heart and really put money in its proper place. And when we do that, there's incredible joy that follows, especially when it relates to our ability to give generously. I hope that's been an encouragement to you today. Thanks for being along with us on MoneyWise today. I want to say thank you to my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. I hope you'll join us right here. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.